Get ready to be inspired and empowered through God's Word as you now listen to the teaching of Reverend Sam Chiaka.
James chapter 1, we've been on the series Bible Doctrine concerning problems and pain. What does God's Word say about things like that? Does God have anything to say concerning problems and trials and difficulties and persecution that we face? James chapter 1. You remember that we've looked at these texts before. In fact, we've dwelt on it from the beginning of this teaching series. Today, I want to really focus. What are you supposed to do when in trouble or in pain? What should you do? So I'm picking it from that aspect. What should you do? James chapter 1, and I read from verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing, you can say knowing this, original says knowing, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, that means produces patience. Let patience, allow patience to have her perfect work. Perfect work means complete work. Let patience finish its work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. I want to read it to you from a different translation. So let's go back there in James chapter 1. Let me read it in the New Living Translation. James 1 verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Let me read it from the message. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well developed, not deficient in any way. I like what it says here. It says, so don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Remember when we started the series, I told you troubles are good. Problems are good. See, that's why you must pay attention in the house of God. If you miss the teaching of God's word, it's like a person who goes to school but misses class. When the test comes, you will not know what to write. You will fail. The church is the university of life, the school of life. Remember, I told you, Whatever you don't learn by the word, by the teaching of the word of God, life will teach you. You will learn by adversity. So we have established that problems are good, troubles are good. God uses them to make us better. There is what is called the university of adversity, and every believer must pass through it. Every person must pass through it. What you don't know, what you didn't learn by teaching, you will learn by adversity. Therefore, I want to focus today, and I'm going to be very short, brief about this. What should you do when troubles come? Troubles come to every man. What should you do? The answers are in James chapter 1. Back in James chapter 1. My brethren, what is the first thing he says to do? Count it all joy. Number one thing to do is rejoice. Count it all joy when you go through diverse tests. The first thing when troubles come to your life is you must deal with your anxiety. You must deal with offense. Before you pray, don't rush to prayer. You will pray and you must pray. But first, your first prayer is a prayer that deals with your anxiety, your fear, your jittery. What deals with it is that you must rejoice. Next thing is that in dealing with your anxiety, you must also deal with offense. Where do troubles come from? What kinds of troubles that come to people? All right, why should they come? I've helped you to see that it is necessary, and that they are tailor-made for you, and they are important for the fulfillment of God's plan for your life. I've also proven that God doesn't send us into problems. All right? He doesn't. But he uses them for his glory in our life. I've shown you scriptures again and again and again. Rest on that. Hallelujah. All right. Now, you have to rejoice. You have to bring yourself, all right, to that condition of mind where you can rejoice in the midst of your problems. To rejoice means you have to remove anxiety. Your worries, you have to remove them. Your offense, blaming somebody as the reason for your problem, is irresponsibility. You must get rid of that. As long as you are blaming people for your problems, you will never learn anything out of it. All right? It is never their fault. Remove blame. All right? Stop the offense. People may have hurt you. People may have done you bad. People may have treated you dirty. But you must not have offense against them. It's part of the Christian code. You must flush out every form of offense in your heart. You cannot be bitter. Praise the Lord. You cannot be bitter. You cannot be bitter and hope to defeat that issue. You've got to be free, like Joseph. His brothers sold him off to slavery. When he saw them later, he didn't play the blame game. You must rejoice. So you must deal with anxiety and deal with offense. If you can't deal with anxiety and you can't deal with offense, you can't rejoice truly. You must get out of that life where you are always pointing fingers at other people for your problems, never taking responsibility. All right? Praise the Lord. No matter the problems you experience, the Bible shows us it is for your ultimate good. Did you hear what I said? No matter what problems you face, the scriptures show us it is for your ultimate spiritual perfection. It is for your maturity. Therefore, you must not pick offense. You must not take it personal. The Bible says, Paul writing to Timothy, he says, my son, endure hardness as a good soldier of Christ. You must endure hardness. You must have capacity to maintain the right attitude in the midst of your problems. In the midst of your difficulties, you must not lose it. You must not get to that place where you blame God or blame man. Where you get angry at the church, get angry at the pastor, get angry at your brethren, get angry at everybody else, blame everybody, get angry at the president of Nigeria, get angry at your country, get angry at the society. You must never get angry at anybody. You must kill offense. So that is the first victory you must have. No matter what somebody has done to you, your first fight is the offense in your heart. Deal with that one first. If you don't deal with that one first, you are still not yet in partnership with God. You can only get into a partnership with God when you first deal with offense and bitterness in your own hearts. That is your first battle. Because if you don't deal with that, you cannot truly rejoice. And you are not yet on the path of victory. See, when you do that, you can truly rejoice, knowing that the challenge, the problem, the difficulty you are in has only one end: your promotion. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen, let me say this. Your biggest battles are not against human beings. Your biggest battles are not outside. They are what is inside you. The bitterness in your heart, that is your biggest fight. The offense in your heart, the malice and maliciousness. Those things are like cancer. They will destroy you before an enemy even touches you. To keep offense in your heart is like drinking poison. It's like calling the devil, Satan, Satan, where are you? And the devil comes, say, are you looking for me? You say, yes, take this koboko. And you remove your clothes. Oh yeah, the devil will be very happy. I like this one. That is what happens when you keep offense in your heart. You cannot be effective with God while you are bearing people in your heart. You can't. Some people say the best revenge to your enemy is your success. It's a lie. That's motivational speakers. Success is never a result of revenge. Revenge never produces success. The anger of man does not and cannot work the righteousness of God. You can't in your own strength think you can win your battles. You can't be fighting against your neighbor, fighting against your brother or sister, getting offended, keeping things in your heart and hoping to pepper them with your success. Your success is not of God if the goal is to pepper them. God is not in partnership with you. Some people push themselves to do things in order to prove a point to another person so that, hey, I will show you. So they want to go and do things and you will miss God. you will dabble into things that is never the will of God for your life because you want to prove a point. We don't try to use success to prove a point. You simply walk with God. You simply walk with God. Sometimes God will give instructions that the whole world will not understand. Walk with God. That is success. Not let's do it so that we will shame them, so that we will show them. The first thing to do is you must rejoice. But in rejoicing, you must first deal with offense in your heart. You can't be blaming your father and your mother as a reason for your misfortune for the rest of your life. People who live like that never come out of their condition. What's holding them? Because they are still pointing the finger at somebody else. They think somebody else is the reason for where they are. And so you remain where you are. That you may have good reasons to keep pointing fingers, so you stay there. First thing to do is you must come to the place where you can truly rejoice. And you only get there when you deal with the offense in your heart and then deal with the anxiety in your heart. Christians don't walk in hatred. Christians don't walk in bitterness. Christians don't walk in malice. We don't do that. To keep bitterness in you is like trying to hold acid in your hands. It's like keeping a rattlesnake in your bosom. You will get injured. You will get injured. So when somebody hurts you or offends you, your first battle is not that person. Your first battle is with yourself. Is malice arising? Fight it, kill it, and do it fast. Else you play into the domain of Satan. You enter into his hands. That's exactly, listen, this is what a lot of people don't know. When people do you bad, listen to me, when people treat you bad and you get mad, who is really the target? It's not that person or that the devil targeted. It's you. You are the target. The devil is trying to get you. I mean, the devil already has that person, and that's why the person is doing what the person is doing. I mean, against you. But you are the target. And you must win that battle. We don't keep offense for 2 seconds. It's not good. We don't keep it for 3 minutes. It's not good. We don't keep it. Let me get angry for 2 weeks first. You know I'm human. That is because you are human. That's why it's not good for you. It will destroy you. There is nothing that creates a conducive environment for demons as offense and bitterness. It makes everywhere around you cool like AC for them. You say, I like this place. And it's demons. Whereas they should be uncomfortable in your presence, the bitterness you are allowing. And that's why you must watch your heart. When people are always bringing you false or evil information about other people, things that will make you develop the way you see people, you begin to see them in another way, you begin to suspect them, you begin to hate them, you begin to dislike them. You must avoid such people because, see, it's not that person that is the issue. You are the issue. You are the target. You are the one the devil is coming after. So that's the first thing you do. He says, my brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy. The first thing to do in dealing with problems in your life is first rejoice. That's number one. And I told you how to deal with it, how you can really rejoice, right? You got to remove offense in your hearts. Then remove the fear, the anxiety. Don't worry about how it will happen.
You don't say, hey God, oh, hey God, hey God, oh, ah, hey, ah, ah, oh God, please don't fail me. Oh God, oh God. Oh Father, your word say, hey God, oh God, please, please, don't shame me. Relax. You are not the first. You won't be the last. Calm down. See, there is an attitude that, see, long time ago, God began to teach me. It is, I don't care attitude. You know, I don't care attitude looks like a bad thing. But God has been teaching me a long time ago to have I don't care attitude concerning life. Now, not, you have to apply that in context, right? I have this I don't care attitude about things. So that it looks like, oh, you know, things are going bad around me, and yeah, I don't care. When I was quite younger, they used to tell me, it's because you are young. You don't know what life is talking about. If you knew what life is talking about, you should be worried. There are, some of you are angry that I'm not worried. Are you angry? I'm not worried. Some people think worry is a sign of maturity. It's because you're a small boy. See, when you mature, you will worry. No, it's when you mature, you stop worrying. You stop worrying. Count it all joy. Learn to say no shaking, no shaking. No shaking. The whole world is shaking. It's crumbling. It looks like everything is going bad. Listen, let me tell you something. Most times we exaggerate our problems. You are the one wearing it overall. You are wearing your problems oversized overall. That's the issue. When the children of Israel went into Canaan, what did they say? 12 men. 10 said, we saw them giants there. The land is good for real. The fruit is, see, it's a, really a land that flows with milk and honey. But we saw giants, the children of Anak. We were like grasshoppers in our sight, and so were we in their sight. 2 men say, what are you talking about? Are you looking at their body size? Hey, if God has given us the land, let us go at once and possess our possession. They shall be, look at what Caleb and Joshua said. He said, they are bread for us. We will crush them. They are bread for us. They are seeing the same thing. 2 different responses. You are the one seeing your problems as giants. Men of faith don't see their problems as giants. You see them as rats. Listen, brothers and sisters, you must learn to laugh at the devil. You must learn to say, eh? So this is it? Anything else? Tell the devil, is this your best? Do you have anything more to throw? Throw your worst. Do your worst. Let's see. Glory to God. Like David. David saw Goliath. The whole armies of the children of Israel saw Goliath, and they were shaking, shaking. The size of Goliath, measured in today, in feet today, is about 11 or 12 feet tall. You know, a 6 feet tall man is already a tall man. Goliath was like 11 and a half to 12 feet. Not just long, he was massive. When the man comes out, the whole Israel will go to hiding. But David brought food to his brothers. His father sent him a cooler. Carry this food. Your brothers are fighting in the battlefield. It's not fight forever. There are times where everybody is in the hiding. So while they're hiding, give them food to eat. So David went there. While he was putting the rice and then pouring the stew for the first brother, so put your spoon. And then, and while he's doing that, Goliath came out again and made his derogatory speech against Israel. David said, who is that guy? He said, shh, 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 He's Goliath, the giant of Gath. Don't talk. Don't let him hear your voice. Everybody went to hiding. Goliath said, is there anybody who can challenge me? David said, who is he? His older brother said, you again. Pack this food and go home. And he started, how the older brothers do. He started rebuking him, shouting at him. As he was going, he went to another soldier. He said, who is that man? He said, well, that is Goliath, a giant, the giant of Gath. And David said, I can take down that guy. He said, who are you? That person has been a soldier from when he was a small boy. Do you know soldiers that later bought form? When I look for a job, they bought form and joined military. It's even from those that as they gave birth to them, they took them away and raised them with toughness as soldiers. You know they are not the same. Oh, they are not the same. Bro. That one is in his blood. Killing is his hobby. He's very skillful at it. So he has experience. David said, I can take down that guy. He said, don't understand. This one is a born soldier. Beyond that, he's a massive guy. There's nothing you can do. He will hold you like this. And with one hand, he will snap your neck. You're gone. David said, listen, this is not about me. It's about who is behind me. He said, what will be done to the person that will take him down? They say, well, the king says, such a man, his family will never pay tax again. And he will get the king's daughter as a wife. And I want to enter David's eye. Yeah, he say. I become the king's in-law. Yes. Say, forget. I will finish him. David was now inspired. I want to take him down. Well, they went to the king. There's this guy that's making noise there. Say he can finish him. Say, who is he? They brought him. He's a small boy. David was only 17 years old. Young guy. He's a teenager. He said, how are you going to do it? He said, listen, king, let me tell you a story. I was taking care of my father's sheep. Young lion came and attacked. Not old lion. Old lion is tired. The young lion came. I caught it by the mouth, by the beard, and I killed it. A bear also came. I caught it. I killed it. David had been trained. God trained him by himself, by the troubles he faced when his father abandoned him inside the bush. Do you understand? Do you understand that what he faced was necessary for where he was going? I can take down this guy. Well, finally they let him. David did not have to fight. When he got to the time of battle, the Bible tells us when Goliath took one step toward David, David ran toward him. David had picked 5 smooth stones according to the scriptures and got catapults. While Goliath was taking one step to come, David ran toward him and released the stone. The stone went right on his forehead, hit him, and Goliath lost consciousness. Bam! On the floor, David went, 17-year-old boy, and removed his head. Carried his head to the king. And that was his victory. Hallelujah. You must see your problems the way David saw his own. The children of Israel saw Goliath as too big for them. David saw Goliath as too small for his God. You must understand that it is between your problem and your God. Not between your problems and you. It's your problem and your God. That's how you see things. So the first thing is learn to what? Rejoice. Hallelujah. Number 2 thing to do, consider. consider. Last week I told you about the scripture that shows us to consider. Consider. First, you deal with the anxiety. You deal with the with offense in your heart. You don't look at it, even if it came, there are problems that come without any person being involved. But there are also problems that come with some people caused it in a way, and that's how you see it. But really, remove it from your mind. They're not really your problem. No man is your problem. Then you begin to consider. Now, when I say consider, I don't mean a melancholic consideration. I don't mean a self-condemnatory consideration. That's not what I'm talking about. That concept, self-condemnation, never helps anybody. It never takes anybody anywhere. But I mean consider constructively. Because you want to learn. What caused this? Any lessons to learn? There are times the lessons to learn are glaring at you. There are times you don't get it. It's okay when you don't understand. There are times in your life where you don't understand. You don't have all the answers. You don't know. You cannot give any explanation. It's okay. It's okay when you don't know. It's okay when you don't understand. It's okay when you don't get it. Look at it here. We're still using James chapter 1 to see what we're doing. So verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trial of your faith produces patience. But let patience have a perfect work. All right, let patience, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, let it be patience. Understand what's going on in your life. There are times you may not know. So what does the apostle say? Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. So there are times where you don't even understand how you got here. You don't know what brought this. He says, let him ask for wisdom. Let him ask that God will open his eyes to see and to know the things which he must see and know. You pray that God will help you to learn the things you need to learn. Perhaps the learning is not for your conscious mind. Perhaps the learning is not something you will know yet. It's something that when you get to the time, you will know why you had to go through what you went through. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are some lessons you don't get it consciously now. You get the lesson, you discover the lesson you learned now later. When the situation that necessitates it comes, you will find out why you had to go through what you went through. But whatever be the case, you pray for wisdom. Perhaps the challenge is an equipping for the future, not a lesson you will know with your conscious mind. Sometimes you don't know, and it's okay if you don't know. Thank you, Jesus. You simply pray for wisdom, that you don't miss the things that God is trying to communicate to you and to teach you. You cannot have this true reflection if you haven't dealt with the first one. If you haven't learned to rejoice. Listen, this is one thing you must always know. Even if you make a mistake, God is still on your side to help you back to the right path. God never, never, never gives up on us. Even if your mistake brought you to this condition where you now are, don't think that God is now so mad. Say, I told you. Now look at what you have done to yourself. I've hands off. God never, never does that. God will never hands off from your case. David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because he is with me. He will never leave you. You remember in verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me, all of them is he. And then he gets to that verse, even though I, so this is the first time, me, by myself, I walk away. Even when I walk through the valley of the shadow, I fear no, even in the midst of the penalty for my own wrong, I am not afraid because he's ever with me. Even your mistakes cannot undo God's faithfulness in your life. The Bible says, even when we are unfaithful, he cannot deny himself. He remains faithful. He remains faithful. Faithful means he will not give up on you. He sticks to you. He sticks to you. That's faithfulness. It's the word loyalty. Loyalty means no matter what you do, I recognize that what you did was wrong, but I'm not going to leave you. That's loyalty. I'm loyal to you. God is that way to us. Thank you, Jesus. Oh my God. God never leaves us. Never. Even in our errors, even in our mistakes, even when you messed up, even when you fumbled and you have brought calamity upon yourself, all you gotta do is help me, Lord. I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I messed things up. I fumbled. Now, Lord, help me. He's ever present. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So number one is what?
Rejoice.
Number two is what?
Consider.
Then when you are done considering, the reason for considering is because you want to draw wisdom. It's not to condemn yourself. You want to draw wisdom to move forward. Okay. Clear, you know, see, God is not condemning you. Just learn your lessons. Okay. This is where I missed it. And listen, you are a human. Don't get so terrible on yourself that you missed it. Relax, you're a human. Bible says a man, Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. He made mistakes. No big deal. Alright? But the big deal is if you don't learn from your mistake. Now that becomes a big deal. If you're going to keep making the same blunders, you refuse to stop it. Now that's a big deal. But you made the mistake. Now you have seen your mistake. Adjust it. And move on. Thank you, Jesus. Number one is rejoice. Number two, you consider. Number three, release your faith. It's time to release your faith. I'll tell you how to release your faith in a moment. That's the third thing you do. Whether the problem came because of your mistake, it came because of what another man did to you, it came because it happens to man, the only answer is your faith. Katobo yaba, etete lata, erepe katuka, isipi kataku, isheme tekeya, intala botoku, iapa kapaya. What am I praying? That's what you do. That's what you do. That's the first thing you do to release your faith. The first thing when trouble comes at you, you close your eyes to the problem. I say you start by rejoicing. You consider what you need to learn. Take notes of them. And then you move to the point number three. That's where you go. Shapa, saka, eketema, sapa. When you do that, you are grinding the problem. You see the way they put beans in grinding machine? You are grinding it. You are grinding it. You are grinding it. You are grinding it. You will grind it until you grind it to nothing. You will grind it to powder. You keep going. It doesn't matter if the whole world is against you. See, if you speak in tongues, you don't know the gift you have. You don't know how you mobilize angels when you speak in tongues. Paul said, though I speak in tongues of men and of the tongues of angels, shared with you when I was in school, when a lecturer said, "You see, you will not graduate from this school. I will deal with you." Me, I know what to do. I don't have to fight you, sir. We don't have a problem. But I know what to do. He's a professor. I did it for 2 weeks. He left the school. I don't know where he is still today. He left. I don't know what happened. He left it today. I've never seen him. Somebody took his place. That's how you deal with situations. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
That's how you deal with things. That's how you deal with things. I was once called into a meeting I was working. I was supposed to come and answer for myself because an allegation has been leveled against me. When I got the invitation to be there, I was going to disarm them before I get there. Disarm everybody. By the time I got there, everything they were saying, they could not sustain it. Listen, you need to understand, you don't have to have solution in your head for every problem. But can you pray? Can you pray in the Holy Ghost? Can you pray in the Holy Ghost? The Bible says, take that case unto God in prayer. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to handle the situation. Leave it to God. He knows what to do. Ekaparura, Arapakota, Ishabaneketa, Itamonga, Arabada, Asabada, Akataga, Akabada. He said, before you did that, I will go ahead of you to make the crooked places straight. I will open it to the gate which no man can shut. That's what you do. That's what you do. As you pray in the Spirit, keep the vision of your victory. Keep the vision of your victory. You keep a smile on your face. When you catch that vision of victory, you will start rejoicing. But you have to pray until you can see it. If you are still crying, stay there. If you are still scared, stay there. Until you can see the picture of your victory, then your countenance will change. That's what you do. I said, number three, release your faith. I don't care how you got to where you are, there is a solution. The Bible says that God has not let us to experience a challenge that is too big for us. He said, in it, he will make a way of what? Escape. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, that is your way of escape. Ratakataya in an own satapa in the koshata. So you can be alone in your room, only you. You close the door. Every time it's not your phone, you close the door. When I have issues to deal with, I get into my room, I close the doors. Even my kids know not to come around. Of course, I've learned that when they come around, I still welcome them. But they have now known to give me my privacy. I pull down the windows and I'm pacing. Sometimes I remove my shirt, remove my clothes. That's what I do in my room. I pace until I have that vision, that note of victory. When you have done that, now begin to confess. Because I see, as you speak in tongues, the interpretation of your tongues will come in form of confessions. Some of us don't even know. See, words will come. See, when you stay, tarry in the place of prayer, after a while, some words will be coming out of your mouth. You will start making declaration. It will come to you. See, it's not something that you grow into. It's there. Okay, it's there. you are saying, that's the interpretation of your tongues. When you have spent some time in the place of prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost, don't be in a rush to say things from your head. Just tarry in the Holy Ghost. Just stay first in tongue. Don't say anything in your understanding. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't say anything in your understanding. After you have stayed there for a while, praying in the Holy Ghost, then the things that begin to come in your hearts, you begin to utter them. You begin to utter as they come to you. Not think it through. Say it like that. That's prophecy. That's interpretation of tongues. When you are done speaking those things into the air, sit down and quickly take notes. Those things are important. All right? Write down confessions as you desire them. As they come to your heart in the place of prayer, write down your confession. What I'm asking you to write down, write it down, because you are going to wake up every morning repeating the same things. You're going to make confessions. What you want to see in this situation, you are going to be saying it every morning. As you wake up from the bed, find somewhere and paste it, or find somewhere around you, or you buy in the bed, under your bed, under your pillow, you bring it out, you say those things. Let me show you a text. Go to Hebrews. Korabada kasakiata shemedebede baulakida karata leko sakote ke melododesh. Hebrews in chapter 4 verse 14. No, let me take it from chapter 3 and verse 1. I want to show you chapter 3 verse 1, show you chapter 4 and verse 14, then I will tie it up with chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. Wherefore, my holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Now, let me tell you the work of a priest and the work of a prophet. A prophet brings a word from God and speaks to the people. He represents God to the people. That's a prophet. A priest represents the people to God. He takes what the people, the people's words to God. Do you understand the difference? The priest is from the people to God. The prophet is from God to the people. Do you get the difference? Now, he says, wherefore you are called and are professed. Sorry, that's Hebrews 3:1. It says, partake of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. The high priest, that word profession, homologia, means confession. He's the high priest of our confession. The priest takes sacrifices from the people unto God. He says, Jesus is the high priest of our profession, our confession. That means he's the one who bears our confession unto God. All right, look at Hebrews 4 and 14. Hebrews 4 and 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Since we have a high priest, or because we have a high, if we did not have a high priest, then there will be no need for this. But because we have a high priest, and this one last song is in heaven, he's not here. That like saying you have connection in the presidency. He said you have connection in heaven. Since you have a high priest, one who represents you in heaven, Jesus the Son of God, he said, because that is so, what did he say we should do? Let us hold fast.
us hold fast to our profession. Let us hold fast. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was at all point tempted as we are. So this high priest understands our issue. So hold fast to your confession. He knows. He knows what you're going through. He knows the difficulties you are in. He understands. So hold on to your confession. Hebrews 10. Now, let's tie it up together. Hebrews 10 and 23. Hebrews 10 and 23. Let us hold fast the profession. I said the word profession means confession. Homologia, that means that which you say. Homologia means repeating God's word concerning your life. You repeat it. Homologia. Homo means the same. Logia means to say the same thing. Homologia, to say the same thing, that is to say the same thing in consent, to say the same thing in agreement with what God has said over your life. So you say this: let us hold fast the saying the same thing in agreement of our faith. So let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. Why does he say without wavering? Because circumstance will try to waver you. Because your feelings, your emotions, you know, will try to, you know, push you aside. He says, let us hold fast. Hold it, don't give it up. Without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So the words that come in the place of prayer are your confessions of faith. You keep saying the same thing. You keep saying them. You keep speaking them. This situation will not swallow me. I'm going to come out of it as a victor. Shakatabaya. I'm coming out of it as a victor. I'm coming out of it better than I was before I entered. In the name of Jesus. You keep that in your mouth. You keep that in your mouth. You keep saying the same thing. This sickness is not going to kill me. No. I walk in my healing. You keep saying the same thing with your mouth. The works of my hands are blessed. They are blessed. They are blessed. In the midst of the difficulties of the nation, in the midst of the economic downturn, I am blessed. The works of my hand prospers. You keep that confession. He says, for he is faithful that promised. That's how you release your faith. You see that? In releasing your faith, you start in the place praying in the Holy Ghost. You move to the place where you start making confessions. You keep those confessions with you every day. And you go about your business as though everything is normal. That's the next thing you do. Go about your life like everything is normal. Let the whole world be turning upside down. Go about your business. If you have done what I ask you to do, if you have acted on the word like this, go about your business. Go about your life. You're not going to pause your life because of one thing is going on in your life. Every other thing doesn't have to die because you are facing one issue in one area of your life. So since then, you have been gloomy. You have been sad. You have stopped going. You have stopped doing other good things you used to do. You have stopped as everything must die because you have one issue. No. Everything else must suffer because you have one issue. It shows in your commitment in church because you're going through challenge. You can no longer sweep. You can no longer do what you used to do. You can't play the drum. You can't handle the camera. You say, no, I'm not feeling. Hey! Go about your life. That's how you release your faith. No shaking.
No shaking. No shaking. The rest of us are not here serving God because we don't have challenges in our lives. No, don't make your own difference. If everybody were to come out to say, praise the Lord, let me tell you about my problem. People deal with stuffs and they come back to serve the Lord. You can't make your own issue the reason why everything else in your life should die. Go about your life. Don't lose out on good friends because of one. Don't now say all men are he goats because you met one he goat. All men are dogs because you met one dog. You don't spoil everything because of one. Life doesn't revolve around that one. You can't say love is a star, don't believe in love. You'll be fine. You will be fine. There is love, amen. God is love, hallelujah. Don't say such things. Don't kill every other thing because of one thing. Go about your life. Go about your life. Maintain your joy. Permit no doubt. The way you used to be a blessing, continue to be a blessing. Remain fervent.
Remain strong.
Keep your fire. Keep your fire. Do not leave your hair. You're not looking like your grandmother. Don't make your hair. Apply your makeup. I was a pastor. He said you should do makeup. Yes. Man, don't just look like Ojuju Kalaba, but you know. Jesus told us to do makeup. You don't know it's in the Bible. You don't know. You don't know. He said, if you are fasting, he says, go and apply ointment. That was the makeup of their day. He said, apply ointment, let nobody see that you are fasting. It's in Matthew chapter 6. He said, go ahead, apply your ointment. Whatever you need to apply to look beautiful, apply it. Ask some of the sisters in this church, when they come without makeup, come on, go and do your makeup. But don't look like Ojuju, you understand what I'm saying? Don't go and do, if you don't know, don't do the one that look like this, say, ah. That's not what we said. Glory to God. The point is, wash your face, clean yourself, apply your ointment, go back to your life. What you have done is working. Remain resolute. Be strong. Be strong. Listen to me. You are not the only one going through difficult time. Be strong. Don't let it swallow you. Be strong. Okay, you don't understand. I've not eaten for the past 3 days. Everything has just been going upside down. I don't know. I don't know. It's like the whole world is saying, hello. Be strong. God has got your back. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. I know it's tough. You are tougher. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Be strong. That's what Paul said. Let me read it to you. Shamango kuze kitaba. In different places, Paul said it. He says, be strong in the Lord. Right? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might. He said that in Ephesians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, Paul says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Quit you like men. Be strong. What will you do? What's the alternative? Be weak. Kill yourself. Commit suicide. No way. Be strong. Be strong. Oh, it's so tough for me. I know. Be strong. Oh, the economy is getting at me. I know. You don't have an alternative. Be strong. Oh, it's all crumbling on me. Oh, it's difficult to get a job. Oh, it's this and that. I know. But there is no alternative. Be strong. Release your faith and trust God. Release your faith and trust God. He's able. He's able. He's able. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's what you do. Hallelujah. What did I say? Number one is you have to rejoice. In rejoicing, how do you rejoice? You deal with what? Anxiety. You deal with what? Offense in your heart. What's number two thing you do? Consider. Why are you considering? You're drawing wisdom. Don't waste your problems. Use it to get smarter. Use it to get wiser. Climb on it and be better. Consider. When you have done that, move to Jethro. What is that? It's time to release your faith. It's time to release your faith. You can't let challenges of life swallow you. No, not you. Learn to roar in the place of prayer and tell that problem, I will swallow you. Is this what you throw at me, Satan? I will chew you. I will chew you. I eat you like breakfast. I eat you like bread. I will finish you like cake. You must need to talk like that. Is that the problem? I will chew you. You must learn to talk to yourself. You are talking to the devil. You don't know me. I will chew you. I will finish you. The things that consume others cannot consume you. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Lift your voice and give Jesus thanks.
This message was brought to you by the Father's Family Mission International. For more information on our ministry schedule, how you can partner with us, or to download more edifying messages free of charge, visit www.thefathersfamily.org.ng. God bless you.